from Charlie Mead to talk about the role of RIM and V3 in computable semantic interoperability. Charlie?
I hope it's live, is it? Yes, please use it.
Well, I guess the only appropriate way to really start is to say, Jane, you ignorant slut.
An age-dependent joke, but at any rate.
I think that I'm actually not convinced that showing any slides is really that what we should be doing here. I don't think that people who are involved in HL7, who are meaningfully involved, who show up and do hard work, would say anything other than HL7 is a bunch of people who are working very hard to solve an extraordinarily difficult problem. And that version 3 is definitely an incremental step forward from version 2. Is version 3 the final? No, version 3 is not the final, and I think that there are very few people that would say it is the final. The documentation is definitely a problem. It's a problem caused by an organization that grew very, very fast between 1995 and 2002, and all the documentation is written by volunteers. It's an organization that's funded by members, and it's been hard to get money to put in the kind of technical editing job that needs to be done, but that is now finally going to start happening. There will be a full-time technical editor, but I want to take technical editing off the table and talk about some of the real issues. I think that the strengths of HL7 are a manifestation of the people who have shown up and worked very hard on the problem, trying to understand how to get a representation, it's not the only representation, but a representation of the domain that is HL7. That domain is defined, ironically, by the people who show up. That is the domain of HL7. I can remember when veterinary wasn't part of HL7's thinking, and then Jim Case showed up. I can remember when community health wasn't part of HL7's domain. I can remember when genomics wasn't part of the domain. Domains are defined in HL7 based on people showing up. If I had to criticize HL7, I would say the biggest mistake HL7 has made, or the hardest lesson for HL7 to learn, has been that when domain experts show up, they show up with domain knowledge. They don't show up understanding how to speak the RIM. And there's been a lot of effort, particularly with CDIS, in grappling with real issues around how do you capture the semantics of a domain and translate those into meaningful message specifications. In terms of saying there are no implementations of Oracle's HTB, I don't work for Oracle. Dan Russler does work for Oracle, and Dan's wife broke her leg, and as a result, Dan wasn't able to come. But Dan did send me an email, which I will forward to Barry, listing some working implementations of HTB and some published performance data. Now, I don't claim that HTB is the be-all and end-all, but HTB is a persistence framework based on RIM semantics. I don't think that that the semantic issues that remain, if you go out on the listserv, what you see is a lot of people trying really hard to figure out a really important issue, and it's the difference between building something and designing something. And that is that HL7 is building design specifications. They're not implementations. They have to be implemented. And as they have to be implemented, they have to be translated from RIM speak into some technology, whether it be XML, OWL, Java, etc. And anybody who's built software, and I question some of the people whether they have built software, but anyone who's built software would recognize that there's a big gap between design and implementation. Because as much as you may think you've got it right, you don't have it right. And many of the issues that HL7 is struggling with in V3 have to do with moving from design to implementation. They also have to do with the fact that this is an extraordinarily hard problem. And what I wish is that Barry would show up at HL7 and lend his expertise and his insights and his energy and his work to solving the problem, instead of posting the HL7 watch and telling us that we're immoral and criminal, which I know you have said in the past. I just want to make one more point, and I won't show my slides, but I wanted to, in my slides had I shown them, I want to comment that Barry admitted that CDA looks like the one good thing that HL7 has built. CDA is fundamentally and completely derived from the RIM. The reason CDA makes sense is because healthcare is such a fundamentally document-centric world, not a data-centric world. And so the ability to have structured documents that can be taken apart allows you to really get at a basic healthcare paradigm, but still get at it in a way that allows you to deal with data. And if I'm going to show one slide, which I will, I want to show Wes Rischel's slide. Let me just go up to it here, which I think gets at the pragmatic issue of how hard this problem is, and that we can't just build something and turn it on and it's going to be okay. Let me just get past my slides to Wes's here. That's this slide. This slide is the essence, I think, of CDA and of the problem we're trying to solve. And that is that even if the RIM were perfect, if every single thing was right, if Barry graced us with his knowledge and came in and fixed it, we ripped the RIM out and built something perfect, we call it V10, and it works perfectly. The facts are, in the real world, all the systems aren't going to be sophisticated enough to handle that, no matter how perfect it is. And one of the really, really powerful features of V3 that we don't have in V2 is the ability to have incremental semantic interoperability. And incremental semantic interoperability is, in fact, a fact of life. If we can't produce standards that deal with the fact that not all the world will come up to speed at the same time, then we're in serious trouble. And one final thing, and I was hoping that Stan would say something, but in the absence of Stan saying something, I want to say another aspect of this problem has to do with the boundary between terminologies and RIM structures. Remember that the RIM is a set of common cross-domain semantics. That's what it's supposed to be. The reason it's so hard to understand is because it's not domain-specific. Remember I said if HL7 had made one mistake, it tries to get the domain experts to speak RIM. Now I think that's finally going to be corrected. But the RIM is a set of cross-domain semantics. Those cross-domain semantics have to bind to domain-specific semantics. And as much as we would like the upper structure to be the case, the fact is the lower structure is the case. And that is that there are things that can be represented, there are semantics that can be represented in the terminology that can also be represented in the RIM. How do we resolve those problems? Do they result in inconsistent computational structures? Absolutely. No question about it. No question about it. But you know what? Paper charts are horribly semantically vague, and V2 is horribly semantically vague, except in a few cases. There are at least rational ways to resolve many of these semantic difficulties. And I want to just close with one final slide. Credit to Stan and the Vocabulary TC for working on a very hard problem. If there were something besides the RIM that captured cross-domain semantics, because we need a set of cross-domain semantics, if we're going to cross domains in a computationally semantically interoperable fashion, we need to understand the semantics across those domains, the common semantics. But the common semantics aren't enough. We still have to have the domain-specific semantics. And those domain-specific semantics ultimately will be represented in concept-based terminologies, some of which have their own semantics, i.e. SNOMED. So we've got to grapple with intra-terminology versioning. And then we've got to realize that, of course, there'll be semantic cross-maps between terminologies. So we have to be able to manage cross-terminology or inter-terminology mappings. And that has to be all managed in real time, and it has to be able to be managed going forward, and it has to be able to be managed so that when you make a query, you're getting back semantically understandable data that may or may not traverse those various links. So HL7 hasn't just built the RIM. Stan and the Vocabulary TC has worked very hard on a set of terminology services to address this problem in a standardized way. So I just would close by saying, HL7, I think no one in HL7 thinks that everything is perfect. Yes, it's an ANSI standard because that's how HL7 builds things. It builds things, ballots them, and puts them in a standards process. I think you will see HL7 more and more do something called draft standard for trial usage, which recognizes the complexity of the problem, and while still being compliant with ANSI, says we will build design specifications which will be released for public consumption and implementation. But those implementations can change the standard in a discontinuous way, which is not the case when you have a regular standard. It's much harder with a regular standard. But HL7 is a group of committed people who show up and work really hard, mostly in addition to many of their regular hours, to try to solve this really difficult problem of computational semantic interoperability. HL7 would love to have more people. The more people who come with either domain knowledge or technical knowledge, the better. And I have said this very privately, and I will say it to him publicly, we would love it if you would just show up and give us some of your expertise.